So the third question is, how can the saints become vitalized together in small groups for the church life? Many families have stopped meeting altogether or have gotten disconnected during the pandemic. So their meeting life is just on the Lord's Day. Life is busy. There's always responsibilities. But we really need one another to go on. So, in terms of the God-ordained way, we might be clear, that it has four steps. There's the beginning, then there's the nourishing, the perfecting, and the building or the prophesying. And each one of those is in the context of, the beginning is mainly one-on-one. The nourishing is really in the home meetings. And the perfecting is in the group meetings. And there is a distinction between the group meetings and the home meetings. Big distinction. And then you have the prophesying for the building up in the district meetings. But really what makes this work is a vital group. That you're vitalized with somebody else. That's really what is the secret, so to speak, to really be able to carry out the God-ordained way on an ongoing basis without getting burned out, right? And to really bear fruit corporately. So I think in this sense, I would take the pattern of the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul. They mainly labored one-on-one. So you have to start with yourself getting vitalized. You have to be vitalized. You have to touch the vital one. And you need to be vitalized. And then, if we're married, then our vital companion, is our wife. In normal conditions, right? Our wife. We were praying together. We're getting vitalized together. But you need to look for somebody that would be your vital companion, somebody that you can pray with, that you can open up. And then you're vital in the sense that you're living and active. Living means you're touching the living one. That means you're in contact with the living one. But we shouldn't just stay there. We need to be active, which means that when you touch the Lord in a real way, He loves people. And He loves others. And so when you begin to have this kind of fellowship with the Lord, then names will begin to come up in your prayer. Names will come up in your heart. And sometimes you just have to read the Urim and the Thummim, right? It's basically the dark stones that come up in your heart. Like, why isn't that person there? Or why is he not meeting? Or irregular? Or what's happening? Is it health? Is it the job? Is it different responsibilities, right? Is it just discouragement? I mean, we're really coming out of the pandemic, and we don't realize how hard the pandemic has really hit us. We're even in terms of coming back to services, there's a real inertia to really get back in terms of the shepherding of one another. And so in a sense, the groups that were vital, that were living, that were active, that had this kind of fellowship, they're going on. Why? Because they're connected. They were praying for one another. When people got sick, you got tons of food on a daily basis, right? I mean, if you're not connected in the church life and you're suffering of COVID on your own, that's miserable. But if the saints that you're connected with, they're praying for you, and they know you're sick, and they know you're sick again, right? People haven't just gotten sick once, they got sick two times, right? And so when there's this relationship together, when there's this connection, and you're considering then the members of the group to care for one another, that's a really sweet church life. My, that is so sweet. Because you're caring for others and others are caring for you. And so there is the mutuality. There's the fellowship. And then you have the capacity. It's kind of like a nest where there's love, there's the spirit, There's a concern for others to pray for. You know, so when people get connected to you in that group, that you can just bear fruit in a corporate way. And so basically these names will come up in your heart and you consider, well, how do you contact them? Do you call them? Do you text them? Do you visit? You know, when's the right time, right? Who should contact? And so this applies just among us in the church life, but then also our contacts. You know, there's some pandemic babies, you know, that came into the church life during the pandemic. Pandemic babies, praise the Lord, you know. You know, in the midst of the whole turmoil, praise the Lord, they got, I'm sure in the midst of earthquakes and hurricanes, people get born, you know, right? It's very normal. But, you know, how's our heart? Our capacity, you know, to receive others, to not judge them, to care for them, to minister Christ to them, regardless of how they look and what they say, you know, how broad is our heart? You know, it's not that people don't come in contact with us. If they come in contact with us, but they don't remain. And a lot has to do with our heart. Our heart is not broad enough to receive them into our hearts and to care for them and to visit them. And so the key here is, saints, on a weekly basis, we really need to be visiting. You need to set aside in your schedule one night or 2 hours, and you set aside that time to visit others, to contact others, whether it's in the gospel or it's for shepherding, because it's in the home meetings, really, that the healthy fruit-bearing takes place. It's in that home meeting where you're nourishing that there really could be some healthy fruit being born. And so backslidden, discouraged saints, busy saints, you know, new contacts, really, the God-ordained way, it's really God's invention, right? To take care of his people, to bear fruit, to testify of the Lord, to testify of the organic function in the body of Christ. And in this way, you know, I think little by little, you know, inviting saints to your house, visiting others, praying for others, this is really being carried out in the context of a vital group that really cares for the Lord's interests. And then all the needs, saints, really all the needs will be met. I believe that. Do you believe that? Really, the Lord has shown us the way. But it's a matter of really us carrying this out and being on the lookout. Who's missing? Who's not around? And then praying for them and then looking for the way then to minister life, to meet the needs, and then allowing the Lord to really operate in that way to meet the needs. You know, we're all needy people. If we weren't needy, we would not be in the church life. Right. We're here because we're needy, right? This is the hospital. We're all, maybe we're out of the ICU, but we're all in the hospital still, right? And really in the church, we really are being cared for, but it's not for us to be selfish. It's really for us to be healed, to then be able to heal and minister to others.
You know, got this one. Yeah, this matter of the vital group, so much was spoken by Brother Lee in the early 1990s until he went to be with the Lord, 1997. And really, you know, this matter of the God-ordained way, how do we carry it out in the church life? And as I was just going back to read the ministry, I realized, you know, Brother Lee made it very clear during his study, those 5 years in Taiwan, that the framework of the God-ordained way is all there, right? The framework. You have the gospel. You have the home. You have the groups, small groups, and you have the districts. So this is the framework. But to carry out the Godly way, we have to carry it out in this framework. If this framework is not built up, it is hard to carry out begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and building. It has been carried out within this framework. And I'm just very burdened. You know, now as we're coming out of the pandemic, it's almost like, you know, we're restoring the church life, but we're not going back to the way it was. We're going on, right? We are, the church life is being renewed. I just feel now is the time. You know, Bradley talked about the Golden Anyway. He said, you may take 20 years, 30 years, even 50 years. Now, how many years? Right? 30 years. Do you believe that this way can be carried out? I believe. I believe. And I believe that we have made some progress, but we need to go much further. And really, the vital group is the foundational. You know, in the church life, if the vital group are built up, then all these matters of the God in a way can be carried out in a very good way. You know, that's why Bradley was so burdened that after he came back from Taiwan, he began to speak to us about the vital groups, because this is the way to carry out the God ordained way. It is through this, through the vital groups. So I just feel that, and we're doing this very much, you know, these days in the Church of Anaheim, we are just studying this matter. We're going through phone lists, we're going through name, going through all the saints who have not been with us, the saints who have not, they're not meeting anymore because of the pandemic. But we are in this process of really going through every name, you know, because every member is very precious. So this is what we're doing now. I just feel, dear brothers and sisters, we all need to do this together. Bradley talked about pushing a boulder over the hill. We all have to push it together. We have to push over this hill. We're not there yet, but I believe as we do together, we'll make it. Amen.
I am also very burdened with this point, so maybe we'll stay with this point for the whole afternoon. How do you feel? You know, this matter of being in the vital group, and as some of the co-workers was sharing with me, is the final solution that Brotherly gave after so many years of speaking about the God-ordained way. Okay, he started speaking on this in 1984. You know, he had been going for so long, but it seems like it's very difficult for us to really go into this. You know, so that at the end of his life, he spoke three times, three trainings. So it's not just three messages. It's three series of messages talking about vital group. And I'm so glad that the first one is with the church in Anaheim. The first one is in the church in Anaheim. And at that time, he actually spent a lot of time in getting into the details of all this. You know, like he actually formed nine groups. Okay. And those nine groups has different constituents, you know. But one group is the older one. And that older one, which is the ninth group, is mainly there to pray very much for the saints to be able to go on. And then you have other eight groups. And, you know, he would speak to us on Monday evening. And then he would ask us to go practice it. And then he would join some of our group meetings to see how we are doing, you know. So that was really quite something. And then after that, he felt that he hasn't gone through. So he used the FTTA to speak in the training of the vital group. But that doesn't go through yet. So he had the last one, which is just before he went to be with the Lord. He spoke about the vital groups. Okay. And this thing that David was talking about, the framework or the foundation of all this speaking is on this gospel, home, and then small group or group meetings in district. All right. You know, recently, I had some time with some of the brothers from Taiwan. You know, they said that after Brother Lee spoke all those things in Taiwan for the first 5 years, after Brother Lee left, they actually forget about this. You know, it's so easy to forget. So they don't practice it. But then they see that because they did not practice that, you know, the number did not go up. You know, the saints are still the same. So they went back and studied all this. And they found out that what Brother Lee spoke about, you know, for us to be able to be vitalized, number one thing is gospel. Don't you think that's wonderful? You know, if you don't preach the gospel, you know, you are not going to be vitalized. Or let's say, you want to be vitalized for what reason? Is it just for you to be happy? Or for you to be useful to the Lord? So this matter of gospel is so very important. That's why here in the church in Anaheim, we talk about gospel. You know, we have all this gospel meeting, first once every month, then once every 6 weeks. You know, and now we are saying that how about we use this gospel meeting for our, you know, our group meeting, you know. And this is actually to help us so that we can be vitalized. Don't you think so, Basil? You know, if we don't have such a life of trying to share the Lord with others, then, you know, we don't even think that we need to be vitalized. You know, we can just go through life as we are. You know, but if we are serious before the Lord, we surely would seek after the Lord and ask the Lord to really vitalize us, you know, so that we can go preach the gospel. And actually, just two things come together. When you preach the gospel, you get vitalized. You see, so many of us has practiced going out to gospel trips. Don't you think when you're in gospel trip, you're quite vitalized? It's because you're preaching the gospel. But after you come home, you say, okay, this is the vital group. Now this is my normal life. So you become unvitalized. Okay? You know, so many trainees told me when they go into their interim, they become so unvitalized because they don't have this life of preaching the gospel. It is through the preaching of the gospel that we can have actually a vitalized group meeting. But before you go to the group meeting, you know, it is good for us to know the gospel preaching that the Bible is showing us is very much us visiting the sinners, us visiting the black Stephen one, us visiting those, you know, that seem to have been lost. So that is the home meeting that we are talking about. But many of us probably are so confused because the group meeting is in our home, so we equate home meeting to group meetings. But actually, it is not. You know, Brother Lee spoke so many messages on home meeting. It is telling us that we need to go to other people's home or invite people to your home. It is not to go designate four homes. These are open homes. So every week, we rotate, you know, with home one, home two, home three, home four. And the more you rotate, you know, the more tired people are, you know. I don't think they are really vitalized. They are saying, man, when can it be done so that I don't have to be in rotation? Isn't that true? Some people actually feel that, you know. They may not say it, but they act. So I just hope that, if we have a gospel, and we have new ones that come to our, you know, we have new ones that we visit every week in our home, with them or in our home, I think that would be quite a marvelous thing to maintain our vital life, to maintain our vital life. You know, we talk about home being the outlet of the gospel. I don't know if you really, truly understand how is home meeting being the outlet of the gospel? The mouthpiece is us. We need to speak the gospel. But the outlet is home. Because if you bring people to your home, and your home is such a proper home, people will not just believe in what you see or what you speak, but they will see that you have a different kind of life. And this is the life that they want. You know, so it's very much more effective if you have the home that you could bring them into. Or if you go to visit their home, you're not just facing one person, you're facing the family. So it is much easier for you to understand what they need, you know, understand what they need, so that you can actually provide them with the proper help that you can. And if our home is like this, we have, you know, Gentiles in our hand all the time. That will maintain our vitality. That will sustain our group meetings. You know, the group meeting that has no new ones, you know, is quite difficult. Don't you think so? We are not just here having a group meeting so that we can, I can pat your back and you pat my back, you say, we are still here. Okay? We are still here. At least we still have a group meeting. So when people ask, you know, oh, those are people who have a group meeting, raise your hand, you can raise it. But you don't really actually enjoy such meeting, you know. So I just hope that if we actually do this, then we can perfect all those new ones in our group meeting so that they can actually prophesy. But, you know, in this small group meeting, I hope you remember, it is not to bring a big meeting into a small location. You know, many of us probably feel that way, you know. Okay, we have a big meeting. Okay, now we are talking about small group meeting. Okay, let's downsize to 20 so that we have a downsized big meeting. You know, so what do? In a big meeting, we come together, we sing a hymn, we pray, and we have someone to prophesy and all this. So in our small group meeting, maybe we do the same thing, you know. But if you read some of these things that Brawley shared regarding group meeting, he did not start with hymns, he did not start with the prayer. He started with fellowship. Remember, the first thing is fellowship. Yes, you need to pray, but you pray before you come to the group meeting. You actually touch the Lord already before you come. So when you come together, you'll be exercising your spirit to fellowship with one another so that you would know the situation of those people that is in your group meeting. And it is after this that you can render them positive care. Your prayer and your care would be meeting their need. You know, it is not something that is just theoretical or something that you have prepared, you know, but something that is so useful for them to go on. Don't you think? Our life is full of problems, okay? Isn't that true? It's full of problems. Especially under this pandemic, you know, the problems seem to have escalated. You know, I was telling, I think, some of the trainees or in one of the classes, I said recently, you know, I had COVID. You know, so I was wondering, why did the Lord let me have COVID? So the Lord seemed to tell me, if you don't have COVID, then you cannot understand what people had when they have COVID. So it's good you have COVID. Don't you think that's something? You know, I was thinking, ah, yeah, this person has COVID because he's not careful. Wear your mask. Get all your vaccination, you know. Okay, just do that and you won't have COVID. But I have all my vaccination. I always wear my mask. Even this is N95. But I still got COVID. Mamma mia. This is not good. But, you know, as I was there praying to the Lord, consider this, taking so much nap, I said, man, now I know the weakness of having a COVID. Okay, so the Lord is bringing us into all this problem, you know, so that we can understand one another. And that is why the Lord spent 33 and a half years here on earth. I always think, you know, if I'm the Lord, I'm going to come, go die on the cross, so I'll be off. I can go back to my heavenly mansion. Because he's come to save us. That's what we think, right? He come so that he can, you know, he can shed his blood for us so that our sins could be forgiven. So if that's the case, you know, just come, you know, don't do anything until you are maybe 12 years old or 18 years old. as you're considered to be an adult, then go die, then go home. You know, but the Lord did not. He stays on earth for 33 and a half years so that he could understand our situation. He goes through all the suffering that we human beings went through. So we cannot say that he doesn't understand where we are. So when he takes care of us, we really know that he really do understand all this death, all these tears, all this hunger, you know, all this sadness, you know, of losing loved ones like Lazarus and others. You know, so I think the Lord is going through all this so that we can be built up. Anyway, but as we are going through this, we should really take care of one another because we go through things on earth today, not just for us. Okay, maybe we say, okay, the Lord bring me this so that he can perfect me, so that all this mixture in me can be purified. That's very good. But purified for what? Purified so that we can be the precious stone for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. For the building up of the new Jerusalem to bring our Lord back. You know, this is what the Lord is doing. So I just hope that we would really touch this matter. You know, we try to get into all this vital group. You know, how many times do we read those three books? A few times already. Right? But, you know, where are we? Where are we? It seems like for most of us, to be vital or not vital is about the same. You know, so I really love this question because this person who wrote this question really wants to be vitalized. But for us to be vitalized, we need one another. You need to be vitalized so that you can pray for me to be vitalized, so that I can also be vitalized so that I can pray for others, so that they too can be vitalized. You know, that's why brother did not say vital person. He said vital group. We need a group. We need one another. We are not butterflies flying around. We are bees for the building of a nest, for the building of a home. You know, for the building of the new Jerusalem. So I just hope that the Lord would really touch us with this, you know. You know, but for us to be able to go on with this, you know, we need one another, and we all need to endeavor. Okay, just a few of us would try to do this would be a tall task. We could never do it. We need one another. So, saints, let's try to do this.